Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 5. Proverbs chapter number 5. We're speeding right through the book of Proverbs, amen. And about 2027, we'll finish up with this wonderful book of Proverbs, amen. Let me just say this, we're excited, really, not to see Emily Lee, but excited to have a little gathering for her in honor of her entering the United States Air Force, amen. And so we're going to have that Sunday evening, and so you be sure to come. You don't have to bring anything food-wise. If you want to give her a card or something like that, that would be appreciated. But just come, show up, amen. The church is going to have some, I think, cake and ice cream, just as a way of saying thank you, Emily. She's been with this church pretty much on, more than off, for since she was 7 years old. She's been a part of this ministry, so we're sending her off into the wild blue yonder, amen. Praise the Lord. I think that's better than a gray Navy ship or a green Army tent or a blue Coast Guard uniform, but praise the Lord, amen. We're thankful for her and her ministry. What a past since we met last time, we began looking at this idea in Proverbs chapter number 5, this thought of pay attention or pay the price. And we began looking at Proverbs 5, verses 1 through 14, and we made it all the way down through verse number 3. As we began to look at this thought of pay attention or pay the price, we saw, first of all, the desire for wisdom. In verse number 1, we saw the term, what it meant. And then we saw in verse number 2, the first part of that verse, we saw the thought of wisdom, and then the task of wisdom in the second part of that verse. And then that brought us down to the description of a strange woman. And we looked at verse number 3 where it talks about her mouth, and we said her lips drop as honeycomb. And then as well it talks about her mouth is smoother than oil, amen. And so that covered verse number 3, and then we moved down to verse number 4, and we talked about the merchandise of a strange woman. And we said this, her merchandise, it's hard to handle. We left off there, and we'll pick up this evening looking at verse number 5 with her movement. So let's begin reading. We'll read perhaps verses 5 down through verse number 8. Then we'll go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Who would read verses 5 and 6 for us tonight? And then somebody read verses 7 and 8. All right, Danny, verses 5 and 6. And then somebody read verse 7 and 8. All right, thank you. All right. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this evening. Lord, we thank you that we could be here together again. Father, as we think about this thought of pay attention or pay the price. Father, surely as we go through Proverbs on several different times, Father, it speaks about adultery, speaks about fornication, Father, and it's not always a pleasant topic for the church to talk about and hear teaching about and preaching about. But Father, it's very needful, Father, in the society and the world that we live in today. So Father, I pray, Lord, that as we go down through these passages, Father, that you would be exalted and the name of Christ would be lifted up, Father, as we look at some things, Father, that we can do to keep ourselves from falling into this trap of a strange woman. So Lord, we pray your blessings be upon this time, this evening. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name we pray. As we look at verse number 5, again, we want to notice her movement. And if you look at verse number 5, you can clearly see where her movement leads her. Notice the Bible says, her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. The path of an immoral woman leads to death. She promises to add life. She promises to add joy. She promises to add peace, but ends up taking joy, love, and peace away from someone that falls into her trap. I think the wise man would ponder the path of this strange woman. I think the last thing a person thinks about when listening to the voice of a strange woman is the danger and ultimately the death that accompanied her. So Solomon warned of where the strange woman will lead someone. You know, as we look here, we see a father speaking to a son, and later on, we'll see he's speaking to generations to come or his grandchildren, but the same reverse could just be as well. This passage is just not for men and for a father and his boy. It could be written for a mother and her daughter as well, or a mother to her son and a father to his daughter. So just have that understanding that this doesn't apply to me because you're speaking in the male sense of the Bible text. Understand this, that fornication deadens our soul. Hosea 4:11 says this, "Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart." We find that it actually literally deadens the soul. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." Paul isn't saying that sexual immorality is worse than the other sin. He's not teaching that. But he does teach this, that sexual sin has a very unique effect on the body. The effect is physical, but it's also a moral effect and a spiritual effect to where it deadens a person emotionally, physically, and spiritually as well. This woman's feet may appear to be leading to a bedroom of lustful pleasure, but the Bible says they're literally headed towards death. Notice again it says her steps take hold on hell. And it gives the idea of her being on a pathway to the grave. Hell, or in the Old Testament, Sheol, was always understood in the Old Testament times as a place where all the dead went. And I think really, we didn't really have a full revelation of what hell was as a place of torment. It wasn't fully known until the teachings of Jesus Christ. When he began to teach it, they began to really understand about the full torments of hell. And I think contextually speaking here in our text, it could be referring to the disordering of life so that it doesn't conform to life that's been defined by God. And oftentimes, that's what the world wants. It doesn't want you and I to live an ordered life defined by God. It wants us to live a disordered life that has not been defined by God. And suffice to say this, that a strange woman is messed up and moving in the wrong direction. I don't know about you, but when I was in basic training, we had to learn how to march, and everyone that goes through some form of basic training has to learn how to march. And I'll suffice to say this, that some people could not just get it through their head what about face was, or left face or right face, and we're supposed to go right face, and they turn left face. Listen, they were moving in the wrong direction. They were messed up. And I think this is what Solomon is really telling his son and the future generations to come, that listen, a strange woman is not only messed up, but they're moving in that wrong direction. Well, we found last week that her mouth is similar to honey. We saw her merchandise is very hard to handle. Her movement, the Bible said, it goes straight to hell. But notice in verse number 6, notice her means. And her means is her movability. Her movability. Notice verse number 6, the first part of that verse. Her ways are movable that thou cannot know them. That word movable literally refers to an unstable condition. It refers to a wave, a quiver, vibrations, perhaps a swing, a stagger, or even a tremble. And so it indicates that someone who's all the time changing their mind or changing their direction. Of course, I'm reminded of James chapter 1 and verse number 18, where the Bible says, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." You see, the devil understands this. He understands and knows that lasciviousness takes away the heart. We already read Hosea 4 and verse number 11. So he continually promotes this sin through many different means. He uses everything that he can to promote lasciviousness, to promote adultery, to promote fornication. He uses the movies. He uses the internet. He uses billboards. He'll use advertisement even in magazines. And yes, he'll use social media almost explicitly today, along with the internet, to promote lasciviousness and fornication. Each one of those things is filled with immodesty. It's filled with endless innuendos and enticements by the world. You see, We can watch shows on TV, and you say, well, they don't have any immodesty. There's no scantily clad ladies running around. There's no nudity. Thank the Lord for that. But listen, so many times there's endless innuendos that lead you to think that it's okay for something to take place, or it takes your mind to be somewhere where it should not be. And so they begin to entice us by these worldly things. And I think the strange woman resorts to endless variations of these things. You say, well, how does a strange woman do that? I think sometimes by provocative dress they do that. Sometimes by sensual flirting, or even today we could say sexual texting and other seductive means to solicit an affair from a man. Notice what the Bible says. She's movable and very good at it. Again, I want to remind you that I'm not just speaking about women today. I'm speaking about men as well. Men are just as guilty as women are. Women are doing these things. They don't always dress right, and they have sensual flirting, and they have texting and sexting, and they have other kind of seductive means that they can to try to entice someone into an illicit affair. I think when an individual yields themselves to this type of activity, the Bible again tells us it deadens our heart. In other words, really, it kills our spirit. It deadens our heart to the spiritual values that evaporate under the passion and lust that seems to come when we see a strange woman or a strange man that comes our way. Well, we see the point here, I think, that Solomon is making, that there are a multitude of ways that these immoral situations can present themselves. And listen, I can't list them all. I don't know them all. But understand this, I do believe if you're a child of God, when these immoral situations come your way, that the Holy Spirit of God will reveal to you what is happening. I think that the point of Solomon writing this is that the involvement with such a person is not only wrong, but it's also stupid to be involved with someone like this. And by the way, again, I want to remind you, it's for both sexes, not just for men. It's for ladies as well. We could sum it up this way and say, immorality for anyone is wrong. It's stupid, and it's spiritually deadening, so to speak, to our souls. Well, we find as her mouth is similar to honey, her merchandise is hard to handle, her movements are straight to hell, her means is her movability. But look at verses 7 and 8. When I notice her magnetism of this woman needs to be broken. Let's read verse 7. Hear me now thereof, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. The terminology here moves now, as I said before, from a son to children, to make sure that destructions really just aren't regarded as a private matter between a father and a son. The young are identified, but I think everyone here, a man and woman, are included in it. You see, temptation isn't limited to age. You know, you can be 82 years old and be tempted to commit fornication. You could be 16-year-old, and you're definitely tempted to commit fornication or anywhere in between. So it's not limited to age. It's not limited to sex or to gender. Take note of the words here that Solomon uses, the words hear and the words depart. It's imperative that we hear these warnings. But guess what? Hearing these warnings alone is not enough. Action must be taken on what is heard. If all we do is hear in one ear and out the other, but don't take action, guess what we're going to do? We're going to fall in this matter of fornication and lasciviousness. Turn in your Bibles to a familiar passage of Scripture, James chapter 1. I just want you to put eyeballs on it. James chapter 1, and verses 22 through verse number 25. I need someone to read that for the pastor tonight. He would volunteer to read that. James chapter 1, verses 22 through verse number 25. All right, Shannon, thank you. Just give everybody another minute, a second or two. James 1, verses 22 and 25. Go ahead, sister. Thank you. passages of Scripture. If you're under the mindset to memorize some Scripture, this would be a good passage to memorize. Even if you just memorize the first two verses, or the first verse even, it's wonderful. Be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. So when you hear the instruction but don't do it, guess what? You're only deceiving your own self. In other words, we could say this, you're just wasting your time. If all you do is come to church to hear the preaching of God's word, hear Pastor James teach during the Sunday school hour and preach during the Sunday school hour, and you don't apply it to your life, guess what? You're deceiving your own self. You're wasting your time. I'm glad that you're here. Don't get me wrong. I want you to come. But listen, if you want to get full benefit of it, if you want to be a blessed man, guess what? You're going to have to apply it to your life. Let's look at verse number 8. The Bible says, remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Solomon's counsel is firm here. Solomon's counsel is direct. He's not beating around the bush. He's simply saying, stay away from her. He said, stay away from the strange woman. Stay away from the seductress, or let me just say, the seduct him, if that's even a word. Don't even go near her house. Don't even go near his house. Stay away from it. Like I said before, if you have a problem with overeating, don't go down the candy aisle at Walmart, amen. If you have a problem with alcohol, don't go down the alcohol aisle at Walmart, amen. Stay away from it. Farther away, the better off you'll be. And the idea literally is this, to remove yourself from her. Travel down a road that's far from her. Go out of your way, and if necessary, stay far away from her. Again, we can apply these truths just not only for this matter of a seductress or a seduct him, amen, a word I just made up, but understanding this, it can apply to every area of our life. If you have a problem in area, if the internet's a problem, dump it. If your phone's a problem, dump your phone, turn it off. You know, there is an on-off button, amen. I still remember Brother Henry when he first came. When I came here, he didn't have a phone for a long time. Then he finally got a little flip phone he had, and he told me, he said, Pastor, let me tell you this. So my boss said you tried to call me the other day, and I wouldn't answer my phone. He said, listen, this phone is not for you to call me. It's for me to call other people. Amen. I'll turn it on when I want to talk to somebody. Amen. I think he's a little over that now. Amen. But that's the truth. We have to set boundaries. You could turn things off. Turn your eyes. Turn around. Do something different. Move away. I think that the crux of Solomon's good advice is simply this. Flee temptation. Amen. The Apostle Paul speaks about that. We find that a lot of people flee temptation and got away from it. I think Solomon's saying to his descendants and his children and grandchildren, if you don't go near her, guess what? You're not going to have to face the temptation, amen? Stay away from her and you'll not have to face the temptation. Listen, Solomon no doubt understands this idea of the physical urges that can dominate a person's thought. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, he had scads of wives and scads of concubines. I think he understood about the physical urges that come in men and ladies as well. And so the strange woman oftentimes has a magnetic personality. Not only she's usually bubbly and outgoing, she dresses, which really most of the time not proper. And men are drawn to this type of woman, just like moths are drawn to a light until they get zapped by that bug zapper, amen? They're drawn to it. And men are oftentimes drawn to strange women. I think the resistance of sin in this area of our life is simply this. By the removal of the steps that led to her. Amen. Stay away from her house. Don't turn right to go to her house. Stay away from it. Don't go in. Understand this. That distance takes away the danger. Distance takes away the danger. You know, I thought about this recently with all the attacks on U.S. service members overseas. You know, I pray for them. I hope that I pray for the best for them. I hope that no more end up being killed by terrorists over there. But you know what? I'm not really worried about a terrorist missile from Hezbollah or Hamas coming over to my house and getting me. Why is that? Because distance takes the danger away. And it's the same in your own life as well. Whatever that besetting sin that you have in your life, understand this, distance takes the danger away. Understand this, that once the momentum is started, once you have started down that path, say to a strange woman, it's hard to stop. Think about, just think for a moment, just for yourself. I'm going to put on your thinking caps and just think back for a moment. Think back to a sin. I don't want you to talk about it out loud. I just want you to think about it. And I hope you already received forgiveness for it. But think about this. Once you begin to think about it and started down that path, did you end up to the ultimate fulfillment of that sin? You see, half the time, the battle's won before you even start down the road. I thought about this, you know, if you start to walk down a very steep hill and you can walk down very slowly, you know, you'll be all right. But you know what? If you start walking down that hill and you trip and fall and begin to roll, guess what? You're not going to stop till you get down to the bottom. Momentum is going to carry you forward. Your flesh and your will is going to carry you forward once you start down the road. So I guess I'm really trying to say this. The best way to stop is never to start. Stay away from it. The magnetism of a strange woman is stopped, and she's never, ever given a chance to draw you into her or draw you into him or into that drink or into that what you're viewing or hearing or seeing or watching. Well, the mouth of the strange woman is similar to honey. Her merchandise is very hard to handle. Her movements are straight to hell, and her means is her movability. Her magnetism can easily be broken by not heading down that way. Well, we're going to close here tonight, and we'll pick up next week. We'll look at